You know, Daryl opened the lesson of the morning this morning in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And here Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Let me get my marker here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 simply says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So what I got out of the lesson this morning is for us to live in Christ is not something that we should do half-heartedly, not something we should do once in a while when the mood hits us or anything like that, but yet it's something that we should strive our very best to live in Christ as every day of our lives, each and every aspect of our lives. So I told Daryl this evening I was going to carry a part B to what he preached to us this morning. And part B this evening is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Of course, most of you know what Philippians 4 and 13 is without even looking in the scripture to see what it is. But it's a very simple verse for us this evening. It says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me." So when you keep in mind the thought process that Daryl had this morning, that to live is Christ, for us to live our lives as Christ is a characteristic that we should have to have as children of God, then this is just a continuation of that kind of thought process, maybe just carrying it to the next step in what Daryl taught this morning. You know, and I read this verse, and for me, I just automatically tend to think about the things like preaching the gospel, doing Bible studies, visiting the sick, those things like that, the things that maybe we consider big things in the work of the church. But the verse clearly says, "I can do all things." And I wonder if we really believe that. You know, I can do all things, because when it comes to the work of the kingdom, personally, I limit myself by some of the thought processes I have. I get to thinking, well, you know, hey, yeah, that's a great work in the church, but I can't do that. I'm not able to do that, whatever that is. And in reality, maybe I can't, but with God, I can. Because through me, I can have faith and trust in God that I can accomplish what God wants me to accomplish in this world, and especially in the work of the kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." So we get prideful and we think, well, hey, I did that, you know, by my talents, you know, and yet God's word says, well, we may think we're sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So when I get prideful and I get to thinking that, you know, whatever that is, that I did that, I can do that, whatever the case may be, all on my own, then I'm totally neglecting the word of God, that God says he's with us when we do the things that he wishes for us to do in this kingdom. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So do we go with that thought process when we go about the work of the kingdom? Do we go about that thought process that God's working in me, he's through me, he's accomplishing what he wants me to do, and I'm accomplishing what God wants me to do for the good of the kingdom? Or do we sit back and think, well, you know, I get this often, that, well, I really need to be doing such and such, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this over here. And if that's, you know, me directly contradicting what God wants me to be about, I can't say. But yet, you know, Scripture tells us when we know to do good and we don't do it, then that's a sin to us. And I wonder sometimes if that's not some of the characteristics that we put out in our lives to begin with, that we should be about the work of the kingdom. We choose not to be, that we choose to do something else, then we don't consider that sin, but in reality it is. You know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." And we understand this is Jesus talking here. He says, well, hey, abide in me and I in you. I'm the branch, or I'm the plant. You're just a branch off of that plant. The branch can't do anything by itself without the plant. And that's the analogy that Jesus uses here. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The same bringeth forth much fruit if he abides in me and I in him. But says, without me, you can do nothing. And I think a lot of times we get to thinking that we can do all kinds of things on our own without God's help, without his instruction. Or maybe we get to thinking, well, it's just the big things that I need help with. You know, the bringing a lesson or bringing a Bible study to someone or visiting sick in the hospital. You know, those are the only things I need help from God with. Everything else, you know, I can do on my own. Well, two things about that. What is everything else that we think we can do on our own to begin with? You know, what is it? And secondly, just like this verse says, for without me, you can do nothing. So we can't live as a child of God and yet say that I'm not working as a Christian when we're out and work in the kingdom. And when we face obstacles in our lives or in our work in the kingdom and we start feeling sorry for ourselves, you know, that's just going down the wrong rabbit hole to begin with. So let's consider what Paul says in the Corinthian letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here the scripture says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know, he says, Paul's saying that I didn't want to be exalted above measure, but yet if anybody had the opportunity to be exalted above his life, that would be Paul, because all of the many great and wonderful deeds he did, the starting of the churches, the oversight of those new churches that he had started, the instructing the leadership of each congregation to set up evangelists and elders and deacons in the congregations. You know, all the many wonderful miracles that he did to spread the gospel. You know, if anyone had an opportunity to be exalted above measure, it would have been Paul. But he says, that's not what I wanted. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. So instead of me being that way, then I had this thorn in the flesh. Whatever you consider the thorn in the flesh is. You know, we've heard all kinds of things I tend to think is poor eyesight. But whatever the case is, whatever the thorn in the flesh is, he went to God and asked him about relieving that for three times. God told him, no, my grace is sufficient. You're fine. Just do the work. My grace is sufficient. See, so therefore, Paul had the idea that says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he says, I'll take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses, not for my sake, but for Christ's sake. And Paul had the brilliant mindset to begin with, that it's not about me. It's about Christ and spreading the gospel. And he says, then when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. You know, and when we finally come to an understanding that we are strongest for God when we are at our weakest in the flesh, then we are beginning to truly live that life that is for God and Jesus Christ. It's something that understanding that may take a long time for us to figure out, and we may never fully grasp that idea. But that's part of us growing as Christians. You know, in the book of Isaiah, there's a comparison made of the old and the young. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31 says, "He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You know, it says, "He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength." You know, when we get out to working in the kingdom of God and we face obstacles to that work that we think, you know, well, it's just me. It's the way I present things or the way I look today or something along those lines. We face a little bit of backlash in what we're trying to do in the work of the kingdom. And we get to the thought, well, man, this is for the birds. But yet, look at what we read in 2 Corinthians for Paul. God told him his grace is sufficient for me because he will strengthen him in his weakness. When Isaiah 40 says, "He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increased the strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." You know, when we look to the young men as being these young, healthy, strapping young men that they can do all the physical things in the kingdom, all the work that they need to do, and us old men can just sit on the side and, "No, you young guys handle that. I've already been through all of that." But yet, he says that even these young men shall fall with their strength. But then he goes on and he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's each and every one of us. If we have the right thought process, then we understand just what Paul talked about up here when he came to the realization that it's not me, it's God and Christ. That's who my life should be lived for. Their work is what I'm here about. And when we come to that idea, then we're willing to wait upon the Lord. And by doing that, he says, we will renew our strength and we'll be able to run, not be weary, shall walk and not faint. So that no matter what the work of the kingdom is, then we will be well equipped for that work. You know, by looking at these couple of verses, then we can see some of God's promises. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 simply says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Let me pick up two more verses real quick, and then we'll comment. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, be not afraid, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And also Isaiah 41, 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." You know, we always think that we're in this life, it's all on our own. It's all me. You know, I'm the one responsible for my life, for what I do with my life, and it's all me. That if I can't accomplish something, then it's not going to get accomplished. We have that kind of a mindset. But yet, you notice in these last three verses, we're told to fear not, be courageous, and God will be with us. You know, what else can this world do to us? You know, when God's with us, what else can this world do to us? And we as Christians need to live a life that does show that we understand our physical weaknesses and God's strengths so that we can say that when I am weak, then I am strong through God, not on my own account, but yet through God, that we can then do all things, not on my own strength, but through his strength and through our faith in his strength. So look at these verses, even the last verse, 41 verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand." You know, when you were little, for those that have little ones in the congregation now, we go somewhere and somewhere that's foreign to them and they don't know what's going on, and you just give me a hand. And they take your hand, you walk them through whatever the situation is. Well, they trust you fully to keep them protected. That's the same way God does us. 41 verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. So what does this world have that throws us off of that thought process? We get so caught up in the things that it's all me against the world, and it's not me against the world. It's me and God and Jesus Christ against the world. And who's greater than Jesus and God in the world? Who do we have to fear? There is no one to fear. When we're trying to live like Philippians 1:21, where it says live in Christ, we need to keep in mind that we make that choice to surrender to God, that He is always there to hold our hand and to strengthen us. Excuse me. Jesus Himself said He will never leave us nor forsake us. So I have one last verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's how we get through the things this world throws at us on a daily basis. When we think we're getting, which we're not, but when we think we get persecuted for professing the name of Christ, when we go knock doors and somebody say, oh, you're from the church, oh, slam the door, that's not on us. It's on them. If they don't want to hear the word of God, that's fine. That's on them. They'll answer for that on Judgment Day. But we can't let things like that deter us from doing the work of the kingdom, as God expects us to be about doing the work of the kingdom. You go back to the text verse that we started this lesson with, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. So what else is out there besides all? When we look at Scripture and it says I can do all things, what else is out there that we can't do? But it's not me doing it, it's through Christ and with God as helping us. We gain the strength and the encouragement to be courageous in the things that we do in the work of the kingdom, and it's all because God blesses us with that ability. He gives us that strength to get through those things that we face in this life. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. Pray the things we've studied have been beneficial to you. I know it might have been a little bit of a short lesson, but still the point gets across, just like Daryl talked about this morning. You know, for us to live as Christ, it has to be a conscious effort and a decision we make each and every day of our lives, that this is what we're going to do today, that we're not going to get distracted, we're not going to get sidetracked or anything else. And I fail miserably at that task. But yet it's something we need to be aware of and work on each and every day of our lives so that we can be better equipped to handle all the things that this life throws at us. I'll leave the lesson with you. If there's anyone subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the song, Ben Slater.